It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Man, it's good to have you guys back here on Money for Lunch. You know, it's the new year, and we're having some glitches. So luckily, it's all going to work out. But it's just funny, you know, you come back from the holidays, and you're in this fog, and you're trying to remember what you're supposed to do, and you're kind of walking around in a dazed. And anyway, it's good to have you here. I hope that you took some time from your from your festivities to plan some New Year's resolutions. I'm a big believer in having written goals. In fact, I don't know any successful person who doesn't have written goals. It's just a must. And what's interesting to me, because I talk to people all the time who are frustrated financially or with their job or with whatever, let's say their fitness or their love life even. And the first thing I'll ask them is, hey, do you have some written goals down? And 100% of the time they say, no, you know what? I haven't done that. I know. And some people every now and then will say, well, I really don't believe in having written goals. Let me tell you, there's something very powerful about having your goals written down where you can look at them on a regular basis and charge ahead. It'll help you stay focused. It'll help you stay motivated, and it will help you achieve more. I guarantee that. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in the lives of many of the people that I work with, many of the people that I've had the pleasure of working with on stage, people who I model myself after. These are the people who have the life that you want, and I guarantee you, they have written goals. All right, enough about me. Let's get this party started with my first guest, Tom Hopkins. Tom Hopkins is one of our regular contributors, and he carries with him the standard as a master sales trainer and is recognized as the world's leading authority on selling techniques and salesmanship. Over 5 million people on 5 continents have attended Tom's high-energy live seminars. Tom personally conducts 30-plus seminars each year, traveling through the world. He is the author of 18 books, including How to Master the Art of Selling, which has gone on to sell over 1.6 million copies worldwide. His latest book is entitled When Buyers Say No and is receiving phenomenal reviews from sales professionals. Tom Hopkins, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Well, hi, Bert. Golly, what a wonderful surprise to be able to spend some time with you to kick off the year and talk about one of my favorite subjects, which is goal setting. So that's great.
Absolutely. You know, it's amazing to me the power of a written goal. A lot of people don't understand it, but there's something magical about having that goal written down, and it works.
It sure does. In fact, you know, this subject you and I have talked about, this is our fourth time together in January over the last 4 years, but it's amazing. The average American, and again, we're talking averages, but the average American does spend more time going over the details of their two-week vacation than they go over the details of their long-term success. And that is so sad. And the written goal is such a foundational part of long-term success. And so I'd like in our time to give them just some things that we've learned over all these years of training these folks to become successful. And I think it starts off, first of all, by sitting down. And if you are married or have a person that's very much a part of your life, you really have to do it as a team. Because if a husband and wife have conflicts in their goal setting, then, of course, it just almost ruins the process of setting long-term written goals. So I think that's one of the first things you have to do is say, hey, let's make a goal. Let's get our goals in writing together. And then, of course, I think you have to break your your goals down to two types. Your short term, which is something that you want to reward yourself with for productivity or for doing something in your life that's important, and then you reward yourself. And the short term goals can be could be a car, could be some furniture for the home, could be jewelry, could be anything that you can reward yourself with. And of course, I've tried to always have for a year, every 90 days, the short-term goals. Then, of course, you have your long-term goals, which is again, I call it your life's blueprint. If you think about it, Bert, not a building is built without a man's mind putting the details on paper, which is, again, a written goal as to how the building will end up. Well, I think we as human beings have to have a blueprint for our lives, which is in writing, that shows our short-term goals and our long-term goals and what we're going to get, you know, in like 20 years. I think a person has to kind of determine a date in their life when they're able to, first of all, not have to work because their money is working for them, or they're at a point where they just say, hey, I'm going to, you know, retire and just play golf or do whatever I want to do. And so you got to kind of start with that first thing. And let's just say it was 20 years. Well, you kind of sit down and say, okay, I'm going to have my 20-year goal set. Now, there's six things that are very important that a person in goal setting do. And you, first of all, should have the goal be better than your best, number one, better than your best, but it's got to also be believable. Meaning better than your best, it is achieving the goal, but it has to be believable. It'd be like if a person was driving a nice Toyota, and they said, well, I'm going to write down my goal for a brand new $320,000 Rolls-Royce. Well, see, that is an example of being unbelievable based on where they're at this point in their life. So that's number one. Then, of course, number two, a goal has to be worth committing to where you don't put it on paper and write it down unless you're going to really commit to do what is necessary as to your quality activities to make the goal come about. Then, of course, it must be clearly defined. I've always had a little belief that to be terrific, you must be specific, which means your goals are... Yeah, they've got to be clearly defined. They can't just be nebulous. And then, of course, number four, they must be vividly imagined, which I think the best way to vividly imagine, if possible, is take a picture and put that picture up in your home where every morning you can look at that goal. And I know when I first started doing this, I found a home that I was hoping to purchase that was coming on the market. And I went and took a nice big picture of the home and put it there on my mirror. And sure enough, we ended up moving in 6 months later into this home. So vividly imagine means if you can take a picture of it. So one of you right now listening might say, you know what, I'm going out and getting a brand new car as my goal for the 2017. Well, go find the darn car, even if you can't afford it yet, and go into the dealership with a camera and take a picture so you can put that goal vividly imagined on your wall. And then, of course, number five, it must be ardently desired. Now, the word ardent to me means you have a passion for achieving this goal. It's not just hopefully I can get this. You really got to be passionate. And then, of course, number six is when it all comes together, and that's it's got to be in writing. It's got to be on your life's blueprint to where you can look down and see it and so forth. And so these are those six things that you need to do to make these goals come about.
So I like this, better than your best, because that to me is very clear. You're always pushing yourself to get a little bit more. You know, you have to commit to it. And I love this thing about clarity. Clarity, I think, is so very important. You, to be terrific, you must be specific. That's an easy one to remember. Clarity, you know, I have found this in my life as well as with the other people that I've spoken with, that when you're stuck, usually it's because you can't not clearly see the target that you want to hit. And so it becomes, you know, you're kind of spinning your wheels, you're getting frustrated. And so that's why clarity is so important. Vividly imagine. I love this idea of vividly imagine. It takes it to a different level. And then ardently
desired.
Ardently
desired, which of course is two words that ardent means I'm on fire for it. And I desire it to where I'm not going to be denied. And successful people, almost in an emotional way, refuse to be denied their goals.
Yes. Yes. You know what? And the thing about it is, and this is the great thing about having people like yourself that people can look to and go to, you know, check out your, get your audios, get your books, go to your seminars. Is that you've done it. This isn't something that you're just talking about. You've done it. You know, I've talked about it at one point where you had your private jet, you know, and that was one of your specific goals that you wanted. And now you just talked about your house. And so not only can you tell people, look, I've done it. These are the six steps that I use. But you can also, you know, everybody hits the wall. Everybody hits that level where you're working really hard and maybe things aren't happening the way you think they should be happening. And that's why it's so important to be able to do these things, to really be committed, no matter what the results are, to be able to vividly imagine you owning that house or the jet or the new car or whatever it is. All of this stuff comes into play because I like what you said. You simply will not be denied this goal that you want.
Exactly. And I think people need to realize that there's many areas of goal setting, but there's primarily four that I think people need to really say, okay, here are the four areas I'm going to set my goals. And number one is your goal for financial independence, to where you are able to live off the money your money makes, which means you've made enough of a net worth that the interest return on your money just about takes care of your overhead. So you have to have this, how much money am I going to accumulate and at what date for financial independence? And then number two is emotional stability, meaning emotionally stable people are the ones that handle crisis. They can take rejection and not take it personally. They are always happy and up because they psych themselves up to be that type of person every day. And then, of course, number three is physical fitness. I think this year is a year where you really want to set a goal as to your weight, as to your exercise capacity. How often will you work out? And you got to commit to it now. I mean, so many people do this in the first of the year, but then they just don't every day or week or month or the whole for the year keep focused on these goals. And then, of course, in my life, one of my most important areas is number four, which is spiritual fulfillment, which, again, I think many people this year should really say, hey, I'm going to do some research on that part of my life. And then, of course, once you have set your goals, you kind of plan your days around their achievement. And, of course, I also believe that real successful people review your goals every morning when you get up and every evening so that, again, when you're sleeping, your mind subconscious is focusing on what you're going to do tomorrow to make these goals, long-term and short-term, come about.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, this is the thing that is so important that it goes back to number two that you talked about. You have to be committed to making this stuff happen. And one of the ways that you're committed to it is by reading in the morning and reading in the evening. And I like reading it. I like having a list in my car so I can read it when I'm stuck in traffic or I'm waiting for somebody or something. I can look at it and glance And I also laminate mine and put it in the shower, so I see it all the time.
Yeah, that's so great. And, of course, I just so hope the folks listening to you and I today realize that you know, we aren't just espousing this stuff that maybe it'll work. Both of us have been blessed, and I mean that sincerely, to be able to achieve our short and long-term goals because of these six basic concepts that we just covered earlier. And so my goal is to always leave people with things they can take and immediately apply, not just get excited about, but apply. And so January is the month to get your life's blueprint set and get committed and go for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. Tom, it's always been a pleasure having you on the show. And as you pointed out, this is our fourth January on the show together. I didn't realize that until you pointed that out. What an extraordinary thing to be able to do this and to start people off on the fast track to success by, you know, by a master sales trainer. You know, you've worked with thousands of people. You've literally millions of people that have gone to your seminars nationwide, worldwide. It's incredible. Tom, it's always a pleasure to have you here. And if you guys there listening want to check out more about Tom and his team, you can go to tomhopkins.com. TomHopkins.com, and he's got a library of resources there for you for free, as well as some other neat items. Tom Hopkins, thank you so much for stopping by today.
Hey, Bert, Happy New Year to all of you listening, and let's make it one of the best. Thanks, buddy.
I love it. One of the best. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Good stuff there from Tom Hopkins, and it's incredible the power of written goals, you know, having the tenacity to stick with it when it doesn't seem like it's working. And speaking of tenacity, we're going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll come back with Susan Combs right after this.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Fro and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool.
You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, it was nice.
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we are back. My next guest, Susan Combs, served as the Texas State Comptroller from 2007 to 2015, where she pushed through reforms in state government spending and is the author of Texas Tenacity, A Call for Women to Direct Their Destiny. Previously, she served as Texas Agricultural Commissioner in the Texas State Legislature. Later, Combs is the founder of Herdacity, an organization devoted to helping women find others who share their interests, encourage their growth, and dare to follow their passions. Susan Combs, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thanks so much. Glad to be on.
You know, that's incredible. You know, Texas State Comptroller from 2007 and to 2015, that in itself is shows some of your Texas tenacity right there. That's pretty impressive to be able to, have the patience and tenacity to stay in government that long.
Well, it's interesting when you run statewide in a state the size of Texas. And so I ran statewide for agriculture commissioner and won twice and also for comptroller. But the main thing is that if you're going to stay in politics, you have to tell people what you want to do for them and be sure that you live up to the contract you sign when you get sworn in.
I like that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, well, let's talk about this, because in your new book, Texas Tenacity, you share your story and strive to encourage women to create and pursue their own goals and destiny. So let's talk about this. How do you define Texas tenacity?
I think partly Texas is a little bit different from other states. We're kind of a pioneer state, and we have a lot of sort of the old words like gumption and stick-to-itiveness. And I think when I wrote the book, Texas Tenacity, what occurred to me was that this is a very large state, and you can have sort of Texas-sized dreams, but because there can also be Texas-sized obstacles, you have to have equal tenacity to match the problems. And that's really the point that I make to women, is that everybody somewhere has an obstacle. Either we create it ourselves, we don't believe we can sort of fly, or somebody puts a stumbling block in our way, and do we have the steely determination to find out how to be successful? And that's really the point, is you don't know where the determination will come from, but we all need it. We all do have these reserves, and we just have to call on them to achieve what we want.
Yeah, I like that. You know, and I think that one of the blessings or benefits of working in government like you have is that it does force you to not only work with people, but also to deal with obstacles it's a great proven ground. I mean, you have to be a much stronger person having dealt with government that long, because there's probably a lot of things that were real simple, that made sense, that could help a lot of people, that didn't happen or didn't happen for a long time because you had opposition.
Yeah, and I think the one that's sort of the most recent was, it seemed like a no-brainer to me that everybody in the state, you get 27 million people, that they ought to know basically how much local debt they have. You know, what's your city debt, what's your county debt, your school debt. And so I thought, well, the easy thing to do is to just have every one of these local entities put it on the internet. The internet is right. The public square. That's where people meet. And the bill that I had great bills, and I had great folks helping to pass them in the Senate and the House. It got killed twice on a point of order each time in the House. What that told me, all these folks running these entities didn't want you to know how much you owed, so that when the next bond package came up, you would vote for a new one. And
right. That
made me very irritated, and I thought, okay, since I believe that the public is entitled to this, what am I going to do? What kind of tenacity will I have? And I thought, well, okay, I run this agency. We've got lots of very smart people here. We will do it anyway. So we spent about 18 months, and it took that much time and a lot of effort to post on the internet all of the things that were in the bill. So all of the bond packages, all of this stuff. And I just thought, it's the public's right to know. And I was not going to be dissuaded that the public shouldn't be given this information. And I'm very proud of that work.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this. What was the inspiration? What got you, motivated to help women, no matter their current situation, that they should never give up? Talk about that. What was the inspiration behind
there was this. In fact, it was strange. It was a date in March of 2015, almost 2 years ago, and I was reading the Austin American Statesman, and I saw this story, which was just amazing. It was about, we had just had a city council election, and there were, for the first time ever, a majority of the members were going to be female. And this evidently caused consternation someplace, and so a staffer just said, we better hire a consultant, because women, he said, women ask a lot of questions and they don't like numbers. Well, that blew my socks off, since I've been dealing with numbers forever. I mean, blew my socks off is a nice phrase for I took out ceiling tiles, hitting the ceiling. I was so unhappy, and I thought, no way. So I wrote an op-ed, which they published, and I said, what does this mean, that the guys are dumb, the guys take what everybody says, the guys don't ask questions, it's a kind of a twofer, you swipe the women, you swipe. And I said, I'm going to take some of my leftover campaign money, I have some stashed, and I said, I'm going to go do something to help women fight back, speak up, speak out. And so We've got this thing called Herdacity, herdacity.org. It's a contraction of her and audacity, where you dare right. to speak up and you dare to do what you want to do. And we are in development, and it should be out in about 8 or 10 weeks.
Nice. Yeah, interesting that that you guys, that we need a consultant because women ask too many questions.
Oh, but wait, it's worse. It's worse. So the guy says, well, I know how, I'll get wrong accent, fake accent, obviously. I know how women feel because I talked to my 12-year-old daughter. She asked a lot of questions in the car, and I answer her patient. And I thought, really? Your 12-year-old daughter, you're going to say, is the equivalent of a mature woman who ran for office and persuaded people that she's smart? So which meant the guy was also very goofy. But anyway, it was an entertaining, blood pressure elevator, and I certainly got a little revved up about it.
Yeah, that is just incredible. I think that, it just blows me away that in today's, even in Texas, now I grew up in Houston, Texas, but even in Texas, you just don't expect that. But at the same time, maybe it does make sense that somebody would say something so stupid. Probably somebody, I will say that women do ask questions, which is smart. I think they ask sometimes different questions than men. I've had the pleasure of being married to the same woman for 30 years. We've raised boys and girls. And you can sit, we love to watch the interaction because women do think differently or men think differently than women. And so our different questions are posed, and that's all good. Never thought that somebody would think that, you would need a consultant. That just, it just blows me away, Susan.
It got some national press, but what it did tell me was, as illogical as it seemed in the spring of 15, there are still today, we're on the very beginning month of 2017, there's still some of this happens. And what it makes me very concerned is that sometimes we women don't help other women, and sometimes we women don't reach for the stars. And there's a lot of data. This is kind of interesting. If a man and a woman have been in a job for 2 years, the woman most likely says, I don't believe I'm ready for the next step. The guy says, oh, yeah, I'm ready. So we sometimes put barriers in front of ourselves, and I want this effort to say, wait a minute, why don't you sit down and analyze where you are, what is your path to your goal, haven't you really kind of marked some things off, aren't you really actually ready, and give them the sense that they can take a harder look at where they are, and maybe they really are ready for the next step. But it is very well known that women, we just don't believe we can take the next step. Many of us don't.
Yeah, it is amazing. Now, I have noticed that, again, having both raised boys and girls, there is a double standard out there. And you know what? I remember we had a situation where there was a child that was being bullied on the bus, and my girl stood up against the bully she stepped
good
in, stopped it. Absolutely good for her. And, we got this phone call from one of the female principals there. And basically the principal saying, well, we just don't want our girls to behave like that. I said, well, I disagree with you. That's the way I want my girls to behave. And I said, yep. You had a bully on the bus. Nobody else was standing up to the bully. And you as a woman should realize that she did the right thing. I said, if you don't realize that she did the right thing, then you guys are in a world of hurt. And so my girls were suspended off the bus for a week, and the bully was too. But bottom line is that sometimes
that's so wrong.
Even when you do the right thing, sometimes you get the wrong consequence. And so I agree with you that sometimes there's this, weird competition, these roadblocks that women create for themselves. And also
yep.
this idea that some women will say, well, I'm not ready yet. And I think that they just don't know the secret. Any woman who says, I'm not ready yet and has been at the job the same amount of time as the guy, the only difference between you and the guy is that the guy is willing to look bad and, get embarrassed and possibly fail. I mean, you just got to be willing to say, yes, I'm ready, even when you're not. That's the secret.
And it's really the ability to take risk. There was a very interesting analysis of 90,000 Kickstarter funding applications, and the men and women responded entirely differently. So the guy, if the guy didn't get his first, you know, petition for money accepted, he assumed, well, they just didn't understand his idea. The woman, if she didn't get accepted, she assumed her idea was bad. If the man got his first one accepted, he said, well, duh. And if the woman got accepted, she thought she was lucky. There is this a lot of training goes on for these girls. Your daughter's bus experience is just absolutely on point, which is that the girls really be polite, sit down, shut up, and don't be bold, whereas the boy is supposed to take risks, and that self-confidence can sort of morph over into a little too much self-confidence, but they're more of a risk takers. They'll fall out of a tree. How often do girls fall out of trees? Not very often. And so you have to sort of transform yourself into a risk taker.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that one of the things that I was, we had, we call it, we were not very, what's the word I'm looking for? We were not able to deal with very well is this deal where our girls who are very athletic, all of a sudden, they got to that point where they started being concerned about makeup and hair and not ever being gross or sweaty or anything like that, where, you know, no matter how much I would say, look, you know, boys don't care about that. I'm telling you, they just don't care. And, you know, I mean, there's, you know, if you're in the gym and you're all, you know, hot and sweaty and stuff like that, that's totally appropriate. I said, just don't worry about it. I mean, if a boy's going to like, he's going to like anyway. Bottom line is there's so much emphasis put on beauty and makeup and hair. They're overwhelmed with it. And, you know, our voices as parents could not be heard. And I think that that is one of those weird situations that we have. I want to talk about this, though, real quick, because we're running out of time. And that is in Texas Tenacity, your book, you discuss how watching Maude, an old television show, Maude, awakened you to the fact that you needed to change your future. Talk about this.
There was an episode of Maude some years ago, and Maude was the person in her high school who was supposed to be, you know, fabulous and win everything, and there was a high school reunion coming up. And so Maude, unfortunately, though, was sort of, you know, 40, fading and not going anywhere, and Bunny flew into town in her own airplane, and Bunny had been sort of a nebbishy little girl, and she was gorgeous, and I looked at Bunny, who was never supposed to succeed, and at Maude, who was supposed to be everything, and who was sort of beached in life, and I thought, literally, I am not going to do that. And so the next morning, I found out where I could take the next law school admission test. I took it 2 weeks later, and I got into law school. It was a wake-up call, and sometimes you need a wake-up call. And my point is, from the mods, who would have thought that a 30-minute TV show would change my life? But it did. And it may be that a person says something to you or an event happens, and just be open and listen.
Yes. Yeah, you know what? That is a neat story, though. It goes to show you that that people like Maude, escapes me her name, but shows like Maude, there's B. Arthur. Yes, I've always liked B. Arthur because she was so bold, right? And and then you had Golden Girls, and we're just now starting to see more and more roles where women are portrayed as smart and powerful and bold. I have not watched the show Scandal, but the trailers that I've seen obviously depicts a young lady who is in a lot of power and is dueling it out with the men in her life. And I'm glad that there are more shows like that are putting women in a powerful position.
We need to have those models. And there's a great movie just out called The Eagle Huntress. And it's about a little girl from Kazakhstan, and she's the first girl to fly an eagle, a golden eagle, in this competition, or whatever kind of eagle it is. And it's really inspiring. Her family stands up for the culture of the area is, no, 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 girls don't do this. And her dad and mother say she can. And it's just she's about 12 years old in this movie. And it's just great. It's really inspirational.
Yeah, I like it. It's called what?
The Eagle Huntress.
The Eagle
Huntress.
So
she hunts with an eagle. Yep, she hunts with an eagle, and it's very interesting. I mean, this is Kazakhstan. This is you know, the Mongol steppe.
Male-dominated.
This is a very different world. Absolutely yeah. Male-dominated, and she triumphs.
Yeah. Well, you know what, and I think that I know that sometimes we hear all this negative talk where women are – for lack of better terms, going in through a new frontier. You know, years ago, they had the first female cadet at West Point. And again, I think that when you have not raised daughters, you don't get it. You don't understand the how the playing field is so screwed up. But having that girl get admitted into West Point, whether or not I never kept up with whether she graduated or anything, but it's important because it opens the doors for other people, for other women to do something that maybe they're passionate about, but maybe it's been male dominated and they need to step up and be bold, as you said, and go for it. Let's talk about this real quick. Let's talk about your experience working with U.S. Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson. What did you learn working with the senator?
Kay Hutchinson was absolutely focused, determined, relentless. I mean, if she wanted to get something done in the U.S. Senate, she did it. She just never quit. I mean, she was a very focused, determined individual, and I learned from her that you may find a door shut in the legislative process in the Senate. There's lots of doors that shut. She never quit.
Sure.
And I'm very admiring of her tenacity. I mean, you have to be up there, and she was tenacious, and she was tough. People knew she was tough, but it didn't mean that she was not appreciated for her talent, and it was a great lesson working for Kay Hutchinson.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. And again, we talked about how important it is to have all these role models. Let's go back to Herdacity real quick. And so it's launching in about 10 weeks. And where can people
yes.
go? Is it Herdacity.org? Is that what you said?
Yes, it's Herdacity.org, www.herdacity.org. And please go and sign up and get on our email list, and we'll keep you posted as things come up. We're in the final phase 3 of the development, and I want to be sure it's right before we launch it. But we want women from all over the U.S. to sign up, and then as they tell us what features they like, we'll modify and add more. If they tell us features they don't like, we'll reduce them. This is meant to be a very interactive, customer-centric, it's free, customer-centric website.
Great, and it's a free resource, Herdacity, Herdacity.org.
Right.
Okay. And the book is Texas Tenacity, the author Susan Combs. Susan Combs, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciated it.
You bet. Good stuff there from Texas, tenacious Texas woman Susan Combs. I always have a heart, place in my heart for people from Texas. And the book, again, is Texas Tenacity. And check it out, especially if you have daughters. This may be a great book for you to inspire them or for them to read themselves. And it's always good to have you guys on the show. It's always good. We appreciate your support so much. And remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.